please take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1. As we continue to look at the identification of the Messiah, lining up with the Messiah being Jesus from the Old Testament prophecies. If you want to take a finger or a marker, if you have one, and just put it around Psalm 105, that'd be a good place to put it. We'll be doing some work in the Psalms back and forth and in the Old Testament. We're going to look at the Old Testament proof of Jesus as Messiah. So this will have everything to do with the person who would make the announcement from Malachi chapter number 4. And I believe that's what kind of drew me into this, these passages, is what should have been known, that when the Messiah is coming and who the Messiah would be very identifiable. And we have the completed Word of God. I realize they didn't, so I'm not mad at anybody. But I am going to tell you that it was, God did not hide it. And that's the fact of it. And it's still not hidden today. And so we're going to begin reading verse number 67. This is after John the Baptist has been born, and after now Zacharias, his father, has been released, his tongue has been released from the side of his mouth, and so they asked what should we call the child? His wife said John, because that's what she was told by the angel, and then they gave a piece of paper to Zacharias, or parchment, and said, Zacharias, what do we call him? And he said, John. And they marveled. And then his mouth was open, and the Bible says this in verse number 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from thy hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. So the prophecy that Zacharias, as an Old Testament priest, is giving, he was serving in the temple at the time that he received the message that his wife would have a son, and they would call his name John, and that he would be the Elijah. He would be the one who would make the announcement of who, of the Messiah, that he was the chosen messenger. So we have him giving a verse by verse. You wonder why we go verse by verse? Because he's doing a verse by verse explanation of who the Messiah is. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. So get your fingers nimble, and because we're going to go through the Bible. All right? So let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. And thank you for the Word of God that gives us the truth that sets us free when we know it. And I pray that if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would see that this is not just something that happened, it's not something man could make up, but that the prophecies of the Old Testament certainly point to only one person fulfilling the position of Messiah, and that is Jesus, born in Bethlehem of a virgin, as the Bible said that he would be, and proclaimed by the Scriptures as the Lord, Jehovah. And I pray that we would see that tonight, that we'd be encouraged by it, and God, that it would stir us up to tell people about the truth of who we serve. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The prophecy that Zacharias begins to speak about in verse number 67 is the prophecy that had come through the Old Testament through several different channels. He uses words here that only in verse number 68 that only two other people used in the Old Testament, and they were David and Solomon, and they were used, the word he says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." When he says that, he now begins, the Holy Spirit is upon him, as the Holy Spirit would do in the Old Testament, would fill the person that God is using at the time. He did not indwell the person, he just filled them so that they would speak with the Holy Ghost. And would speak, when they did, it was speaking the word of God. And so in each one of these verses, from verse 68 down through verse number 75, there is a reference to a prophecy or a beginning of a prophecy for the Messiah. And that's what we're going to look at. So we know that he's using the words, "Blessed be the Lord the Lord God of Israel," because he's recognizing, first of all, that as God had promised, the Messiah, the one that John would be preaching about, was making the way for, is a descendant of David. And that was a necessary connection. He had to be a descendant of David. And when you go to Matthew, and the very first chapter of Matthew, and then when you go to Luke, you see that very well spelled out, are the generations of Jesus Christ, and the way that it all comes down to the fact that the one in Matthew goes to Jesus, the one goes from Joseph, from Jesus through Joseph back to Adam. So the proof is that this, and both of them have David in the generations. I don't have anything but allergies, but boy, they always hit me when I start talking, which is a blessing to most people. And so, in verse number 68, he begins and he says, "And hath raised up," so he's thanking the Lord, "Blessed be the Lord God, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." go to Exodus chapter number 3. And we can see here where this comes from. Exodus chapter number 3. The Bible says in verse number 16, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me," and this is God speaking to Moses, "saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt, and I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God." So God is giving Moses instruction after Moses has argued, but he uses these words specifically, that he visited them. So that, and he explains how he came down, he saw their affliction, and he visited them. And his visitation was causing him to act. So right here, a good Old Testament preacher would immediately assign this as the promised deliverance of God to the children of Israel. In the first case, it was out of Egypt into the promised land. In the second case, which is the one we're looking at, it would be his people from their sin. And he develops that. So as he begins to introduce his message, he lets them know, all these people are listening, and he's letting them know that this message is about God's deliverance. So the person coming that my son John will preach about and prepare the way for is the one, the promised one, because God visited and he's seen our affliction and he knows what we need, and he's going to give us the deliverance that we need. Now, he doesn't use Jesus' name, but certainly we understand, because in the next chapter we'll see it very well developed that Jesus is born. We also know that Mary has visited Elizabeth, and so in the reference here, as he begins to preach, which is exactly what he's doing, he's preaching to them the deliverance of the Jews of Israel, and he's going to give them two types of deliverance here, which is very interesting. But turn to, I don't want to get ahead of myself, Psalm 111. Verse number 9. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Interesting choice of words here. This is a reference when he says here that he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of the servant of his servant David in verse number 69. When you go back to verse number 9 of 111, notice that it says he sent redemption, which is past tense. Why? Because when God prophesies that something's going to happen, it's as good as done. So this is a fulfilled prophecy. Now, Zacharias makes the connection that this redemption that God has sent is the one that is being sent, or the one that is going to be announced. The Messiah, the fulfillment of the Messiah had not yet come, and they knew it, but Zacharias is saying, but just as it is prophesied that he has sent the Redeemer. And so that's verse number 69, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. So in verse number 69, he says he's raised up a horn of salvation. That horn of salvation, turn to Psalm 132. And verse number 17. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. So the anointed one that is supposed to come from the house of his servant David, it's prophesied that he would come. In fact, if you wanted to go back into 1 Samuel, you would see God's promise that the throne would forever exist under the line of David in Israel. And it's a promise. So this is Zacharias recognizing that now is the time it's being fulfilled. Now it is interesting, and I just use this kind of as something that will stir you up, is if you go and you start looking for what many, and I don't know about the Jewish people as much as I know about the Jewish rabbis or prolific writers, and they love to blog. I know it's hard to believe, and they write about that there's no way the Messiah has ever come. Yet the same Old Testament scriptures they use to say that he's never come actually prove that he has already come and exists right now at the right hand of the Father. So he's where he belongs. He was where he belonged then, and he's where he belongs now. And it's another interesting and just fascinating fact to me is that Zacharias is an Old Testament priest who was working in the order that David had laid out. He's in the second temple that we were looking at in Nehemiah and then Malachi, and he's serving there. He has served there for many years. He's older now. He's been in the service of the Lord. He was much older. He was not actually serving around the altars. He was actually doing the service, as you read in the first part of Luke. But as he's serving there, when the angel comes to him, when the angel Gabriel comes to him and makes the announcement, he doubts. Well, of course he doubts. But as he's now had time to think about it with his mouth shut and his ears open and watching what God has done, he now understands that these are things that the Old Testament prophesied. So it's good for us to study the Word of God instead of trying to figure out what it's trying to say to us. Let it say what it says, because it does all the work for you. You don't have to try to figure it out. So the promise to David has been fulfilled. In verse number 70, it was confirmed by the prophets. Now turn to Jeremiah chapter number 23. Jeremiah chapter number 23 and verse number 5. Jeremiah 23, verse number 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And there is his name, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Look at Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3 and verse number 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. If you go back to Luke chapter number 1, he's not only talking about the now, he's talking about that this person that is coming, that John will announce, this person that I've been told about by the angel Gabriel, my son will prepare the way of the Lord. He is the promised Messiah that one day will rule in Jerusalem forever. He is the righteous branch. He is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Now, Zacharias would have a lot of influence in the area that he lived because he was a priest. He was looked to teach the Word of God. And so these people are hearing the Word of God, and they're, no doubt he's taught them before from the Scriptures, but now he himself understands the timing that they are living in. You know, the truth is, when you are in the Scriptures, you will understand the timing you're living in. When you're in the Scriptures, you won't walk around saying, well, I mean, what happens if we're here another 50 years? Hey, I'm sure people 50 years ago thought that. Well, I don't think we're going to last another 50 years, but what if we're here another 50 years? Well, we're here another 50 years because our time frame is not God's time frame, but I can tell you we're closer than we were 50 years ago. We're closer than they were 2,000 years ago when Jesus ascended. So when you think about the timing of this, remember it's been over 400 years since an angel has been seen anywhere. God cut them off from the Word of God. There was no Word of God in those days. None. The next person that received information about God's plan was Zacharias in the temple. The connection for him, as he couldn't speak, that was his sign. Remember, the Jews were looking for a sign. His sign was, fine, you don't believe me? Then you won't speak. And he didn't until the child was born. So through those verses, we know that he identifies the person that John the Baptist will preach about, the one that he will point to, is that Messiah. Now, verses 71 through 75, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, and to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham. So he identifies this person that John will speak of, that he's been told will speak of. He identifies him as the fulfilled promise to Abraham. So not only is he the fulfilled promise to David and to the nation, he is the fulfilled promise to Abraham. So turn to Psalm 105. And verse number 8. Psalm 105, verse number 8. He hath remembered, speaking of the Lord our God, his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the saying unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. Go back to Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22 is where Abraham was tempted, tried, and told to take Isaac and sacrifice him. And verse number 16, let's go to verse number 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So, when you go back to Luke chapter number 1, this is the fulfillment of the promise. This person that John would identify. Now, I don't know that Zacharias knew the identity, but I do know that he believed and knew that John would, because John was the person who would announce and prepare the way of the Lord. So the observation here that he makes is that he is not just a deliverer from our enemies now, but he is also a deliverer and the merciful extension of God's grace in his holy covenant to preserve himself a people that were holy. Look at what verse number 74 says, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 connects those two and says that's what Jesus Christ did in himself. He causes us to live in righteousness and holiness, which is of God. So this right here, an Old Testament preacher is saying, here's exactly what's going to happen. This person coming, this person will be the Savior, not only of his people, but of the world, because all the earth will be blessed in Abraham's seed. So he recognizes that the prophecy was not just for Israel, but it was for the whole earth, because that was the promise that God made in Abraham. And so Zacharias then identifies Jesus by identifying who John the Baptist, that later would be known as John the Baptizer, John the Baptist, would be what he would be doing. So he says there in verse number 76, "And thou child," now he's speaking to John the Baptist, "thou child shalt be called the prophet of the highest. Thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins." You know, they say that there's no Old Testament grace in the Bible. Well, that's exactly what remission of sins is. That this, you, John, will identify the person coming as you are said to be the person coming. If you look at Malachi chapter 4, where we were, "And I will send Elijah before you." Okay? So you are the fulfillment. You will tell them the person who is the fulfillment. You will identify. You will prepare the way. Go back to Isaiah chapter number 9. Keep your finger right there, because and we're going to do this kind of simultaneously here. So go back to Luke chapter number 1. And just, you know, like I have mine where I can just flip it real fast. It's a good idea. Okay, so "thou child," verse back in Luke, shall be called the prophet of the highest. "For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." And you can see that in Malachi chapter 4. "To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, comma, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited," the day spring being the rising sun, the sun of righteousness, which is also found in Malachi chapter number 4. And then he says, "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." He's talking about not just now he's delivering us from our enemies, he's delivering us from our spiritual bondage. So chapter 9 and verse number 2 of Isaiah, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, and in the day of Midian." So in chapter number 9, when it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given," verse number 6, "and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So Zacharias is referencing Isaiah chapter number 9 to let these people know that his son is the person spoken of in Malachi chapter number 4, the Elijah who will announce that the Son of Righteousness has arrived, and that he will shine a light. That's the word, that's the reason the word S-U-N is used in Malachi chapter number 4, because he is a bright light. He would shine this light on the world, on the people who were dwelling in darkness. When he says darkness, he's not talking about the darkness of the days. He's talking about the darkness of sin. What's so incredible about this is he is giving the Old Testament message to little baby John the Baptist that John the Baptist will preach. The remission of sins. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You've got to show these works to show that you're repenting of your evil deeds and your evil doings. Jesus said, or Paul said of Jesus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy has saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Everyone without the Son of Righteousness, everyone without Jesus Christ the Messiah, everyone without salvation is still in darkness. And the world is still in darkness, yet the Son of Righteousness is still shining. He still shines. He still is fulfilling the scripture of being the light in the darkness. And you know how he's doing it? By those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. So shouldn't we shine as bright lights in the darkness? We should. We should be telling people that the light has come. The Savior of the world has come. He has been born. It's been proven from the Word of God that He is, Jesus Christ is the Lord Jehovah who came and set people free from darkness. In fact, He said, I am the light of the world. John chapter 1 tells us that He was the light that was sent into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This time of year, you have ample proof from the scripture to declare unequivocally, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. There is no other Savior. There is no other way. There's no one that has fulfilled 300 prophecies of Scripture. No one. And it just amazes me how even people that meet in independent Baptist churches today are now doubting the veracity of the Scripture. It's because we talk too much. I think if God sent Gabriel to sew our tongues to our cheeks, and we couldn't talk and we had to listen and we had to read, instead of saying what we know, instead of just saying this is what the scriptures say, it's amazing when you read Matthew, the early part of Matthew 1, when Zacharias is arguing with, or in Luke 1, when Zacharias is arguing with Gabriel, and now the message that he preaches at the end of Luke chapter 1. Because he saw that the Word of God had been and was being fulfilled right before his eyes. And I'm telling you, that's the age we live in right now. The Word of God is being fulfilled right before our eyes. It should draw us to know the Word of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. If you're here tonight, you have no idea if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. I'm telling you, the Savior has come. The Bible is the proof. Not men didn't sit down and write this in a day. It's not something that was contrived by man. It could not be. Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures for you and for me. And there's ample proof historically and scripturally who he is. If you'd like to know more, I'd really invite you to come and search me out and find out more what the Bible says. Christian, we should be witnessing and telling people. Because pretty soon, the light, Jesus Christ, is going to come and take us out, and darkness will cover the earth. And in that moment, in that time, my question for you is, who will you leave behind that you should have told? Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us, and thank you for your word, and thank you for the truth that sets us free, and for this picture of the Old Testament scripture certainly proving out the message that John the Baptist would preach was not only from you, but was about you and about your plan for mankind. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us tonight to be challenged by that, and then if there's anyone here who's never accepted you, that this would burn in their heart to know that the Savior of the world has come and extends to them the free gift of salvation. Lord, we love you and thank you and praise you for who you are. I pray that you would work in our hearts this season and help us to be better witnesses for you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.